a scripture reading this morning before the lesson will be out of Galatians chapter 6, the 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he sows to his flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he sows the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith.
If you will, open your Bible to Galatians chapter 6. I want to say again that I appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning and to speak for you and to think a little bit about what God wants us to do and how He wants us to act and to live. I was thinking on our drive down, I wanted to wish you all Happy Father's Day, those of you that are fathers and grandfathers and such. And I was thinking about, on the way down, how great it is to have fathers that are involved in their children's lives. We were driving down the road, and off on the one side of the road, you could see a bunch of kids out playing soccer. And I'm sure there were parents there, though. Fathers and mothers there, teaching their children about playing games and such. And we were driving a little bit further down the road and saw a truck that had a couple dirt bikes in it. And there was a big dirt bike and a little dirt bike. And I can just imagine there's a father and his son. When I was young, there was a fellow, my dad rode dirt bikes all the time, and there was a fellow that rode with him. And his little boy had a little Pee Wee 50, and they rode all over. They went all over together. It's a great thing to have fathers that are involved in their children's lives. And I was thinking about that, and if you're a father or a grandfather, and you brought your family this morning, you've made the best choice that you can make. There are certain things in life that are good, and yet there's other things that are still better. I'm reminded of Martha and Mary when Jesus came to visit them and their brother Lazarus. You may remember that Martha was busy getting things ready, which is a good thing. What she was doing was good. She was serving other people, preparing food, preparing for their guests. You remember Mary who was sitting at Jesus' feet listening to him speak and teach. And Martha wanted Jesus to rebuke Mary for not helping her, and Jesus said she has chosen the better part, and it wouldn't be taken from her. It's so important for us to be involved in our children's lives, that if you've made the choice to bring your family to worship, you've made the best choice that you can make. And I encourage you to keep doing that.
Amen.
I didn't necessarily intend to preach a Father's Day lesson, but it might be fitting, I suppose. I read an article, and it's been a few months ago, about parents these days experiencing burnout. And I forget the percentage. It was rather high. I think it was over 50, and it might have been as high as 75% of parents are experiencing burnout today. And you know what burnout is. You're tired. You're overwhelmed. I suppose that's especially true of newborns, right? If you can remember the first 6 months of your child's life, you're doing pretty well, because most of us experience a lack of sleep that makes such things hard to remember. It's good to have pictures, right, of those first 6 months, maybe even the first year of your child's life. Parenting is hard, and it can be difficult. It can be challenging. and tiring. But how many of you here have ever been tired? That's a common part of life, isn't it? Now, there are different levels of tired, right? There's, you know, it's the end of the day, I'm tired. And there's I've done way too much and I'm tired. One time when I was younger and much more foolish, we were deer hunting, and we went deer hunting during the day, and that night they're having a walk-in and bowling alley for the children at church, and so I took a group of them, and we stayed up all night. And I got home about 6 o'clock, and I went directly to milk, and I milked. And then I went hunting. I didn't go to bed until about 10 o'clock that night. I think that's probably the tiredest I've ever been. I was trying to sit up eating, and I was falling asleep. You know, there are times in life where we get tired like that, right? Where we're just absolutely exhausted and weary. And it can happen from a variety of different things. It can be work. It can be foolish choices. It could be sickness. It could be age that's causing us to grow weary and to grow tired. It could be loss, like losing someone close to us. It just makes us tired. Of all the things in life that I've experienced, I think perhaps funerals of those that you're closest to can be the most tiring. It may not be that they die, but it may be that somebody that's been sick for an extended period of time. You probably know of people that have been the caretaker for someone, and they've gotten sick, and perhaps even died because of the care that they were giving the one that they loved. So there's many things that can make us tired, that can make us weary. In fact, there's even a condition called SAD, seasonal affective disorder, in which people get depressed, they get tired in the fall and in the winter because the seasons change. We grow tired, we grow weary from many different things in life. And that's true not just physically, but that can be true spiritually too. That we can become tired from a spiritual standpoint. In fact, Paul warns Christians about that very thing on 2 occasions at least. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, he warns the Galatians about not becoming weary. He does the same thing to the Thessalonian church in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. And spiritual weariness, just like physical weariness, can result from many different things. It can result, for example, from sin. Maybe there's something in your life that you're struggling with, you're having difficulty with, something that you know you don't want to do, but maybe you do it anyway. That can become weary from a spiritual standpoint. Why can't I be better? Why can't I do better? Why can't I overcome this? And we're in danger of giving up. It may be that it's temptation in our life that we're struggling with. That all these things around us are pulling us. And it's a test and it's a trial each and every day. Perhaps it's sin, but maybe it's not our own sin. It might be the sin that's all around us. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8, Peter says about Lot that his righteous soul was afflicted because of all the things that he saw around him. You know all the things. You watch the news sometimes. You see the things that are happening in the world around us. Wars and murders and all variety of things that are discouraging and can cause us to become weary from a spiritual standpoint. It may be things like physical death and suffering that can cause us to be not just physically weary, but can cause us to be spiritually weary too. You look, for example, at men like Job in the Bible. There were spiritual questions about his relationship with God that he's asking, because suffering doesn't just affect us physically. Sometimes it affects us spiritually too. And maybe unfaithfulness. Maybe you know someone that isn't faithful anymore. Or maybe you struggle with it yourself. Those things can cause us to be weary, to be tired. Oftentimes the actions of others can make us weary. I heard a story about a lady she called a congregation and she asked for some help. She told them that her mother had passed away and she didn't have enough resources to go to her mother's funeral, and she was asking the church to help her to buy her a bus ticket so that she could go to the funeral. And so the elders of this particular congregation, they talked about it, and they met with her, and they decided to give her the money necessary to get to her mother's funeral. And they gave her the ticket, and one of the elders stuck around for a little bit after they gave her the ticket. And do you know what he saw her do? He saw her take the ticket back and cash it in for money. She wasn't after a ticket. She was after money. You know what she did after that? The very next day, she called the exact same congregation again, told them the exact same story, and asked for help again. Turns out that she was doing that rather often and apparently forgotten or didn't even know that she had called that congregation before. Now, things like that can happen. And you know what can happen to us? We can become affected by that. And we can say, well, we're just not going to help people if they're going to use us. You see what that's done? That's caused us to be weary in doing what is good. We can become weary spiritually from so many different things. But Paul tells the church, in both Galatians and Thessalonians, he tells them, don't be weary. Don't give up. And so what is it that we can do? What can we do to keep ourselves from becoming weary, especially from a spiritual standpoint? And I think Paul, if we look at Galatians chapter 6, he gives us three different things. First of all, Paul tells us to remember our purpose. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 6. Let's look at verse 9 again. Paul says, and let us not grow weary, but I want you to know what he says not to grow weary in. He says, do not grow weary while doing good. It's not just growing weary in general and growing tired, but it's in growing weary and doing what is right and doing what is good. Have to think about good for a moment, right? What is it that's good? Well, I think from the context of Galatians chapter 6, good would be doing what God commands us, right? Doing what He wants us to do. And I think at the same time we have to ask ourselves, why do we do that? Why do we do what God describes as good? Well, we don't do that for ourselves, do we? We don't do good to puff ourselves up. We don't do good to gain personal glory. We don't do good to make ourselves feel better, although that sometimes happens when we help someone, when we encourage someone, when we do what's good, that can make us feel good, but that's not our ultimate purpose, is it? And so our purpose isn't to make ourselves feel good. Our purpose isn't to gain personal glory. It's even, you know, we might get the wrong concept that we do good to buy our way into heaven, or from the negative perspective, to buy our way out of hell. People in the past have done that. Do you know what indulgences are? Indulgences are essentially giving money to the church to buy oneself out of hell, for lack of a better description. That's not our purpose, though. You see, we need to remember our purpose for doing good. Our purpose for doing good is to glorify God. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, and verse 13, and also in verse 14, says that we are the salt and the light of the earth. But we're not salt and light to make people like us. We're not salt and light to bring glory for ourselves. We're salt and light to bring people to glorify God. You see, our purpose for doing good is to serve God and obey Him. We've been redeemed, according to Paul in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. We've been redeemed as His own special people, zealous for good works. We're zealous. We desire to do good things. We desire to do good because of what God has done for us. Because He purchased us with the blood of His Son. Because Christ died on the cross for us. We serve God and we obey Him and we do good. We've been blessed by God so that we can bless other people. What can keep us from growing weary? What can keep us from losing heart and giving up? One thing is remembering our purpose. Our purpose is to do good, to glorify God. But second, go back to Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 8 and verse 9 to help us not grow weary. We should not only remember the purpose, but we should also remember the promise. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, Paul says, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." In verse 9 again, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." I want you to notice a couple of words that Paul uses there. In verse 8, he says, "The person who sows to the flesh," and then he says, "will reap corruption." If you sow physical things, if you sow wicked, evil things, you will reap accordingly. But then the opposite is true as well. He says, "He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." God is making a promise. If you sow wickedness, you will reap accordingly. If you sow righteousness, you will also reap accordingly. Same thing in verse 9. "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap." You see, there's no question about the result of doing good. If you do good, you will reap. There's a promise inherent there. God is promising that something will happen. There is no question, you see, about the success of doing good. There's simply no question about it. If you do good, there will be success. I'm reminded of what Paul had told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. He said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable." Notice the similarity with the passage we're looking at. He's telling them, don't give up, don't stop, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You see, there's no question, from Paul's standpoint, there's no question about the success of doing good. If you do good, it is not vain. Now, you think about that. You put that into something maybe that's more tangible, more applicable to us. Let's say that you'd like to have your vacation Bible school coming up soon. Let's say you go out and knock doors for your vacation Bible school. Let's say you knock 1,000 doors. What if no one comes? Isn't it still a success, that work that you did? It is. Even if no one came, it would still be a success because you're working for the Lord. You're doing what He commanded. If one person came, it's a success. If 1,000 people came, it's a success. There's no labor for the Lord that is not valuable. And so every good that you do will reap something. There's a promise. We need to be cautious, though, because there's a positive and there's a negative promise to this. If you look again at verse 8, there's a promise from the negative standpoint as well as from the positive. Paul says, if you sow corruption, the promise is true there, too. If you sow wickedness and evil, you will reap corruption. I think there's a warning there, isn't there? That we need to be careful of what we do. If we act in evil ways, if we commit wickedness, there are going to be, there's no question about it, there are going to be consequences for what we do. But the same is true from a positive standpoint too. When we do good, there will always be success. We will always reap. There's no question about it. What can help us keep from becoming weary? What can help us keep from giving up. Remember, first, our purpose. Our purpose is to do good, to glorify God, not ourselves. And remember, second, remember the promise that God has made that if we do good, it will reap. And then third, remember the time. Look a little bit more closely again at verse 8. He says, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap. And so there's the promise, we will reap. But what is it that we'll reap? He says, we will reap everlasting life. If you serve God, if you obey Him, if you do His will, if you do good to serve Him, there's a prize that awaits you. There's a promise of eternal life, of life in heaven, eternal life with God, salvation from sin, and eternity with Him. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul says that he gave up everything, and he pressed forward for the goal of the prize that lay before him. He gave everything up so that he could gain that prize. And God says, if we do good, we will reap that prize. We will reap everlasting life. You know, there's only two things you have to do. And this is majorly simplifying it. But there's really only two things we have to do to gain that prize. You know what they are? The first one is obey God. That's the first thing we have to do. And the second is don't give up. You think about it. Summarize what the New Testament teaches. And that's basically it. Obey God and don't give up. And you'll gain the prize. And that's what Paul's telling them here. Look again at verse 9. He says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. There's only two reasons that you might not gain eternal life. Either you don't obey, or you give up after you have. That's it. And so Paul says, don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't go back. Be faithful. Be persistent. Finish the road. Paul, as he neared the end of his life, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, he could look at his life, he could look at the things that he did, and he could say to Timothy, he could say, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. And then he makes the statement, he says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Paul could look at his life, and he says, I have a crown waiting for me. I have eternal life before me. I have that prize, and it's there, and the Lord's going to give it to me. You know, that's not what's true of Paul. Look at his next phrase. He says, which you will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. You see, we can all have the same confidence that Paul had. We can all look to the end of life and say, that prize lays before me, and the Lord's going to give it to me. If we obey Him, and we don't give up, what can keep us from becoming weary? What can keep us from giving up, spiritually speaking? We need to remember our purpose. To do good, to glorify God. We need to remember God's promise that we will reap if we do good. And we need to remember the prize that God has promised us that we'll reap eternal life. And so there's one thing that I want you to do today, and that is this. Keep doing good. Keep doing good. Don't stop. Don't let anything cause you to stop. There are things that are going to happen in life that are going to discourage us. There are things that are going to happen in life that are going to be difficult. But keep doing good. Don't give up. If you're a father, bring your kids to church. Teach them about the Lord. Lead them in the way. If you're a mother, do the same. Just don't give up. Keep doing good. obey God, persist, and do good as often as we have opportunity to all that we come into contact with, and especially those of the household of faith. But you know, when you think about doing good requires, and not only requires, but it really begins with, if you think about it, obedience. Because you can't really do good if you're not obeying God. Now, I want you to think about that. Put that up in your mind and think about it for a little bit. Because from God's standpoint, what really is good? Isn't it doing what He wants us to do? That's what good really is. And so doing good, from a human standpoint, really begins with obeying God. If you're not a Christian, doing good for you means especially to obey the gospel. And that simply means to obey Jesus, to believe that He's the Christ, the Son of God, to be willing to repent of our sins, willing to confess as well that we believe that He's the Christ, the Son of God before men, and then allowing ourselves to be baptized in His name. Baptism means to be immersed, to be fully dipped in water for the forgiveness of our sins. That, from a human standpoint, is the beginning of doing good, of obeying God. If you do that, Paul says in Romans chapter 6, that you'll be raised from the waters of baptism to newness of life. And as you begin to live a new life, committed to God, being one of His own special people, zealous for good works, so you can begin to live a life faithful to Him, continuing to obey Him, continuing to doing good, and persisting, being faithful, not giving up, not becoming weary and losing heart, but persisting and being faithful to God in the death. Perhaps you've obeyed the gospel in the past, but maybe it's that other part. It's not that you haven't obeyed God, but it's for not giving up. You know, that's hard in this life, isn't it? Think about all those things we talked about in the beginning. Things that can cause us to lose heart. Things that can cause us to grow weary. Sometimes those things drag us down. Sometimes they pull us away from the Lord. Perhaps that's your situation this morning. I encourage you, change your life. Make a decision this morning. If there's sin in your life, make a decision to repent of it. And to be more faithful today than you were yesterday. And to be more faithful tomorrow than you were today. But perhaps, you know, one of the great blessings of the church is that we can encourage one another. God gave us a group of people that can pray for us and strengthen us. They can hold up the weary hand. There are times when we're going to struggle. There are times when we're going to be weary. But in the church, we have brothers and sisters who can help us with that. If you're weary, won't you let us pray for you? Won't you let us encourage you? If you're not a Christian, won't you become one? If you need to respond, won't you come if you stand and sing?